Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. I bet you get 30, 30, I bet you get 30, I bet you get 20, 20, 20, I bet you get 20, 20, I bet you get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month, sold.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
A lot can happen in 3 years, like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage that lasts nearly 3 years in some states. Learn more at uh1.com.
Hello, Egg Chasers. It's the Egg Chasers Rugby Podcast. Yo, you know all the intro. This is a different podcast. This isn't our usual one. If you're listening expecting to hear us on a Sunday evening, then, well, you've missed that one. But it is in this feed, so just click on the episode before. This is a midweek podcast because the Autumn Internationals are here. They're upon us. And so we're just going to get into that with a short preview podcast ahead of the Autumn Internationals and looking at it from the point of view of the home nations. I'm Tim. JB's here.
Hello, Timothy.
Phil's here.
Hello, Tim.
I love these periods. Autumn Internationals, Six Nations. It's just glorious.
Most rugbyest time of the year.
Yes. We should put that to that Christmas song.
We could, but Dave Damashek does the most footballiest time of the year.
Oh, does he?
Yeah. But I'm not adverse to copying him. So.
Yeah. Won't be the first time, won't be the last.
Right, let's see if we can improve upon the number of times we said the word bona fide in the podcast on Sunday.
Yes, exactly. Well, we are, you know, the world's bona fide largest rugby podcast, so why not?
Okay, so I reckon I'm going to break this down. I'm going to ask a bunch of questions that will lead where we go, and we can answer them. And we'll rattle through each nation. We won't do a whole chunk on England, then we'll do all the nations, but in relation to some specific questions. But first off, Phil, you're the man who always has the information and stats. Just run us down who the opponents are during these Autumn Internationals for the four home nations.
Okay, four home nations. Do you want in total?
Yeah,
so
go on.
England play Argentina, followed by Australia, then Samoa. Ireland host South Africa, Fiji and Argentina. Wales play Australia, Georgia, New Zealand, and then they have a fourth test against South Africa. Scotland play Samoa, New Zealand, Australia, and France, who I've put on this list as well, they host New Zealand, South Africa, and then Japan.
So first question, is this the right opponents for the right point 2 years away from a World Cup?
Good question. So I really wish England were playing New Zealand. I think I'm not alone in this. A lot of people have been calling for it. England and New Zealand have been the top two teams in the world basically since Stuart Lancaster messed everything up in 2015.
Good old Stu.
Good old Stu. And we're still not seeing it. We're still not getting that game. And I think England would have wanted it because that is the only real way that you tell where you are. So all the other teams...
But is this not like boxing matchmaking, where you want to get two heavyweights undefeated for several years and then get them in?
Oh, from a box office marketing point of view, it's brilliant.
But from an England point of view, wanting to improve themselves and know where they really sit right now and know what they need to do. England play Australia and they'll play Argentina, who are both good teams on their day. Mm. But in the past 2 years, they have... So 2 weeks ago, Australia beat New Zealand. A month ago, or 6 weeks ago, they were 50 points down at half time to New Zealand. So you can't really get a full gauge on where they need to be based on playing Australia, because you will see the brilliance, but you'll also see some poor aspects to their game.
So I'm going to disagree with you and say I do think it's good that they're not playing New Zealand. Because New Zealand, as you mentioned on our previous podcast, are using this to blood youngsters. And I don't think you're going to get the full New Zealand against England.
Oh, so, you would.
Yeah, you would.
Well, you would.
No, you literally can't, can you? Because, you know, there's not, for instance, no Ben Smith.
So there's one player missing.
Yeah. So
So and, yeah, but
also at the end of an absolutely grueling period of games, you've got three games against the Lions. They've played the championship, and then I think they're probably about 5% off what they are.
Perfect.
At their absolute best.
Play them 5% off, and then next year play them like 95% New Zealand. Next year play 100% New Zealand. You're ready for a World Cup.
Okay. Yeah, I can see that as well.
The flip side, Wales, bearing in mind they're going through another period of change. Finally, Gatland seems to have abandoned Gatland ball. Hallelujah. But they've got a grueling schedule, which could be, could work brilliantly, could be, and this is what I'm worried about, a hammer blow.
Yeah. Yeah, I see that one. So there's going to be no Sam Warburton. Is that over the autumns?
No Sam Warburton.
There's going to be no Jamie Roberts.
No, certainly no Jamie Roberts.
And, you know, you think, hurrah, the end of Gatland ball. And I think, oh no, it's the end of Gatland ball. Because when I loved Wales, you know, when I really love Wales is when they put in those just epic, epic performances of incredible work rate. I mean, they have had some, just some incredible games, like the 4-minute stint of defence and, you know, you look at the stats and Jamie Roberts has got a million yards, but only 3 yards per carry. You know, 24 tackles, isn't ridiculous.
Can you do that sort of seven things. Times?
No, you can't. But there again,
and, yeah,
you, know, you play seven times, you win five of them. If you don't do it seven times, you're going to win none of them. And that's the problem.
Yeah, it is almost a defeatist attitude that, as in some of those games, some of the valiant efforts were... There was the win against Ireland at Millennium Stadium. There was the win against South Africa, but most of them have been losses to New Zealand and to Australia.
Yeah, it works substantially better in the Six Nations than it seems to against the Southern Hemisphere teams, that's for sure.
Yeah, still, and I just feel that Wales have tried that. And I think you're fair in what you said for a long time, which is Gatland is picking or was picking the best team that was available to him. It's just, if you're going to play Jamie Roberts, who was certainly the best inside centre in Wales for a long period of time, it's going to limit how you're going to be able to play.
Well, he was unique for a long time.
The problem is, 2017 is not the time to rip it up and start again. That was 2015.
Yeah.
It's such a, just...
I mean, when you say rip it up and start again...
Well, not rip it. It's not ripping it up and starting again. It's just... But something so fundamentally, Gatland has never, in his whole career, whatever team he's played anything other than the rugby that Wales have been playing for the last 10 years. Mm.
But he's also... And I always come back to this because it's very easy to knock Gatland. And sometimes you can feel a little bit down about one of his teams. And then you remember he is one of the most successful coaches of all time now.
There's no doubt. Yeah.
He's now an all-time coaching great. So... When you get
Is. That's like going world class when someone's had an amazing premiership season.
Two Heineken Cups, undefeated with the Lions.
Yeah.
You know what?
We should keep the great for.
He is great.
For he's close.
He's very yeah. Close. I think he is definitely in the conversation.
Steve Hansen, and there's probably Graham Henry, and then it's him.
Even Clive Woodward. I mean, what he did at the time was magnificent, was brilliant. Yeah. And he has defined everything that's come in the last 15 years, it almost is.
I guess he only did it with one team.
Do you remember when he was going to be a football manager? Do you remember that?
Yeah, we were Southampton.
And he did stuff with the Olympic committee as well, didn't he?
He did really, like the 2012 Olympic hall was, he was instrumental in the foundations there.
Didn't really hear about him after that. I mean, I'm sure he was involved and did good things. But I didn't really hear about him in the Olympics.
Yeah.
And Southampton didn't exactly work out. And the Lions was an utter disaster.
The disappointing for me was he didn't replicate. He never tried to replicate it.
Well, yeah.
He'd never done anything.
All right. Here's a question that we can sort of bring in Scotland and Ireland as well. We've heard the schedules that the teams have. What represents a successful autumn international tournament? What is like the minimum expectation that the teams should expect? So England, clearly, we can answer that dead easily, 3 wins. But I'm going to add on that. What do you reckon? 3 dominant wins. I think they've got to dominate. For it to be a successful autumn international, they need to convincingly win 3 games.
So I would just take a win against Australia. I would take I think it's got to be a big win against Argentina. It's got to be blood some real young or some fresh talent against Samoa. Australia, I would just take a win. I think Australia, they've come into a good patch of form. If they keep that through, it'll be a close game. It'll be a very close game.
Do you know England are 9-2 to win the World Cup?
That's not right.
Second favourite. 9-2, I think, is really short.
Hang on, is that good or bad?
That's 4.5-1.
Yeah.
No. I mean, like, do you think they're favourited too much or not enough?
If they win, I think that's short.
So that's lower than it should be.
Okay.
So I'm with you. I think that probably reflects the English betting market a little bit, because odds on England will always be lower in England.
Right. So they're undoubtedly the second favourite at the moment.
Yeah. Yeah. I'd agree with that.
I get that.
But you just think the odds don't.
And here's my justification for it. We're 2 years out from a World Cup. And Phil just said we need to use the game to blood some youngsters. That rings alarm bells with me. I'm really glad to see the young players that are coming through in England and the talent that there is. But there's an alarm bell ringing when we're saying we need to blood youngsters. 2 years from a World Cup, this should be a time when we're going, right, got our 30 men. We might introduce one or two real stars, but we've got our men. We know we can pick our starting team if the World Cup final was tomorrow. And we know the core of the squad that's there, and I'd say there's a number of positions in the team that I've got question marks over whether they're good enough.
Yeah, I'm very conflicted on that because I do agree with you. I think the cohesion is probably more important than the personnel. So actually having a good team, you know, that's what it's all about. But are you not in a danger of being born in the wrong year? So therefore you're 18 now, and therefore you don't get a shot at this World Cup. You're going to have to wait another 2 years before you're involved in England so you can start blooding you in the next cycle. But on the other hand, if you're good enough, you just play.
Yeah, no. So one or two may come into a squad and may even play some time. But what I'm saying is Phil said we need to blood youngsters. So we're at a point where we're like, God, I don't know who's going to play seven. We better play some players and work it out.
And what do you mean by that? Do you mean, for instance, they need to find more players, or they just need to get these players experience?
So I don't think you've... So World Cup needs... You need 30 men.
Yeah.
I don't think England have currently got 30 men as a full squad who have the requisite experience. Seven is a good example. Alternatives at 13. So if Tuolagi's not fit, you've only really got Jonathan Joseph, who's played 13 for England.
Yeah.
Fullback.
Mike Brown goes down.
I mean, some would argue Mike Brown, is he going to be a World Cup winning fullback?
At 33, is he going to be a World Cup winning fullback?
And if he goes down, who plays fullback for England? We haven't got a clue.
But this was
could be Elliot Daly, could be Anthony Watson, could be someone else.
Yeah. This was the criticism of Clive Woodward, which is he neglected a whole generation of players because he stuck with his boys all the way until the end. And then after that England World Cup, there's nothing really behind them. Which is why I had so many barren years.
Yeah, I'm an England fan. I'm all right with that. We won. If that's what it takes to win a World Cup,
really?
Eddie Jones, do it.
Yeah, I guess.
New Zealand managed... Well, they've won the last two World Cups, and they have managed to bring in youngsters at the right time. So, like, Bowden Barrett, who is now the world's best 10, wasn't even first choice at the last World Cup.
Can I just interrupt you there? He's the world's best first receiver.
He might be the world's best player.
He's the world's best first receiver and probably best all... He just can't kick.
So yeah,
I refuse to call him the world's best 10. Let's call him the world's best first receiver.
Okay. That's fair. So yeah, that's my point. You need a full 30. So you need three players in every position, really. I know that's more than 30 players, but with the crossover... And I don't think England have it. They have it in some positions, but not
tight head prop, I think, is one.
No, what, that we don't have it?
Yeah.
Yeah, totally.
Yeah.
Tight head prop, seven. Centre, there's still a question mark who's going to play.
Well, yeah, we don't actually have a 12.
No.
So we have one 13 and zero 12s.
But do have five 10s.
Yeah, we've got an army of 10s, some of whom may or may not be able to play 12. Certainly one of whom can play 12 very, very well.
Yeah.
In Owen Farrell.
There we go. So
Owen Farrell's injured, and Jonathan Joseph is injured, and Manu Tuilagi's nowhere fit. What does that look like? What's your landscape of 12-13?
Here's one thing as well. By 2019, who's going to be wearing 10? If you think who's going to take England from a 10 position to a World Cup, arguably you might want Owen Farrell in that 10 shirt, but
you've got to have a 12. But you've got to have a 12,
and
you've
got
to
know who that is, and they've got to be better. So this is kind of what I'm saying. There's a lot of question marks and changes, and Eddie Jones knows what he's doing. He's a he is a world great as a coach as well. So I'm not getting down on it. I'm just, hopefully by the end of the autumn, there's a few more answers than questions.
Yes.
Yeah, I think you might be a bit too pessimistic. I think England are in really good shape. And the players they're bringing in, it's not like you're questioning, are they good enough, are they not? It's almost like you're just waiting for them to develop into good enough players. I think we're going to be pleasantly surprised by this young England crop.
I will say that I do think potentially this is going to be one of those World Cups where all the teams aren't quite great. It sort of goes in kind of cycles. Like the 2003 World Cup was massively strong. All the teams were, there was a lot of brilliant teams. And then in subsequent World Cups, there's like the one where England got to the final, 2011.
That was 2007.
That was a World Cup where there was a lot of relatively mediocre teams.
Mm. Yeah, it does feel like the last three World Cups.
Yeah,
have not been so. Other than New Zealand in the last two.
Well, no, but because New Zealand had that incredible team in the last two, but I don't think New Zealand are going to be anywhere near there.
No, I don't either. Well, maybe. No. You're right, because they had Carter in his pomp.
Yeah.
They had McCaw at like the height of his powers.
Conrad Smith.
Yeah, exactly. Marnonu, forget it.
Marnonu, Conrad Smith, Richie McCaw. Yeah, you just had world class players all everywhere.
Yeah. They've got some.
I don't think they'll be far off, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The creaks are showing though, the cracks are starting to show a little bit.
Yeah, with their second teams the cracks are showing. And this is why they're blooding their second team, the backups, which can prop up that first team.
Yeah.
I'm not going to get into some.
All right.
Some
so England, games, England three wins, minimum expectation. Ireland,
three wins.
I'm with you. So Ireland first up against South Africa, and South Africa, who's like Australia, started off this year poorly. They are improving, but so Ireland should win that.
Yeah. If we think for a second, right, that England are by far and away the second best team, as the bookies suggest, I would say Ireland are right there with them. If they're not joint second favourites, they're pushing England all the way.
So they beat England, obviously, in the Six Nations this year, and they contributed a fair few players to the Lions as well.
Agreed.
So yeah, I don't think they're a million miles behind England.
And they're at that nice stage as well where they've got a lot of mature players.
Yeah.
In fact, they might actually be a bit too old for the World Cup.
It does feel like they've got a few who are getting that way. Not too many, though. So Rory Best is the obvious one.
I even think people like Sean O'Brien. I mean, Sean O'Brien isn't that old. What's he, 30?
30, I'd say.
He'll be prime. He'll be prime still. Number eight's an important one.
Yeah.
So he slips out, so that gives an opportunity for...
Christ, he slips is a classic
who's the
example
chap?
Of that.
Conan? No, is Conan going to play eight?
CJ Stander?
Jack Conan is the Leinster lad.
Yeah.
He could play...
Chance for him to...
Or CJ Stander.
CJ Stander, yeah.
So the reason I mentioned...
CJO Stander.
Yeah.
Yeah, the reason I mention O'Brien is not so much for, you know, just the actual age, but it's more to do with the fact that he doesn't do much in the way of games. And for him, another 2 years of rugby on a body which is very susceptible to getting injured could actually be too much.
So it's interesting that, because in one way, he's not got the miles on the clock that a lot of people of his experience have.
True.
But he is. We do know he's more susceptible, or he is... has historically been susceptible to injury, so we'll see.
And what Ireland have had in recent years, obviously Paddy Jackson out of the equation at the moment, but Paddy Jackson was turning into a really, really bona fide
bona fide
international 10.
Genuine international 10, and then Weinstein came along and ruined everything for him.
That's a joke. That's the sort of thing taken out of context someone could put in print and it would look really bad, and it would look bad on us. So clearly Phil is joking when he says that. Yeah, I agree, but Joey Carberry is taking giant strides forward at the minute.
Right. So Joey Carberry is interesting because he's been playing a bit of fullback for Leinster, and the back three, so I'm looking at this Ireland squad at the moment, the back three is where there's question marks. So you've got...
Well, you've got Dave Carney, Rob Carney.
Dave Carney, Rob Carney and Keith Earls would have been a solid solid international back three in 2011.
Thank you. I was waiting for that bit.
Like, I'm not sure. So Keith Earls, I think, is still doing some good stuff at Munster. Rob Carney, last time I saw him play for Ireland, he did play well. But it's the three of them. How much longer can Rob Carney keep going? Dave Carney's never been that great. And Keith Earls, how much longer can you keep going?
Yeah, and they've not got Zeebo. And I think Zeebo gives them real magic.
So what? Yeah, so Zeebo out, which I'm okay with. But if Carberry's going to play 15, and then you put someone like Stockdale on one wing, and then Andrew Conway on the other wing, then all of a sudden you've actually got like a young, exciting,
dangerous
back three. Yeah, so... It'll be very interesting to see what Joe Schmidt does.
Stockdale,
Beau, Trimble, Lewis Luddick, Piatow.
Mm. Piatow, is he qualified yet?
He's project player. Unfortunately not.
Yeah, I'm with you there, actually. The potential selection is a little bit drab.
Yeah, the potential, it could be very good or it could be quite dull. I'm hoping it goes on the more exciting, but Schmidt tends to be quite cautious. The other one will be to see what centre combination we get, because you could go for the Henshaw-Aki combination.
Oh God,
Bundio-Aki.
The Connacht tried and tested, or you could bring in my boy, McCloskey.
Yes, my boy as well, love it.
Or you've got Farrell, the Munsterman.
Chris Farrell.
Yeah.
Not so much. I love McCloskey. I think he's an absolute warrior. So I'd always go for him. But there again, Bundiaki is a great player.
Yeah.
Ringrose was injured.
He's not in the squad. Yes, so he must be. I'm guessing he must be.
Because he's probably the most exciting out of all of them.
Yeah, you're right.
I mean, him and Bundiaki would be fairly special.
Yeah.
So good options, but we're saying they've got to beat South Africa for it to be a successful...
I think they will beat Argentina and Fiji.
Yeah.
And my money would be on South Africa, but it would be a tough test for them.
I would take Ireland over South Africa.
Yeah.
Definitely.
Then...
The one thing we can say for certain is if Ireland do lose, even if they lose fairly, those bona fide Irish journalists from some bona fide media outlets will be raging again. They are there's a few in Ireland, there's a few everywhere obviously, but there's a few in Ireland that at this time of year they just start sharpening their pencil. Just getting ready for the acid attack. So watch out for that. But definitely, yeah, three wins. How about Scotland then? We haven't talked about them yet. Gregor Townsend's got a big test now.
Who have they got?
So Scotland start off slowly. Well, I say start off. They play Samoa first, and then it gets real serious, real fast. They then play New Zealand, followed by Australia.
An expectation to call it a successful AI. I think are we at that point where, maybe it's different with Scotland, maybe with Wales as well to an extent. Where I was going to say, are we at that point where you can't keep saying, oh, well, the performance was good, they just didn't quite get the result?
100%
we are. We are at that point. So in which case, Scotland have got to beat Australia.
Yes. They can beat any of them. I'm not... You know, they've got to get
no,
two wins.
Not New Zealand, come on.
They've just got to get two wins.
Well, if they beat New Zealand and that's their two wins, great.
Yeah.
Assuming they're not going to beat New Zealand, they've got to beat Australia.
I tell you what, the ramifications for the JB Cup this autumn are just huge. You're going to have to keep a close eye on that one. They're going to win two. It's a damn good team, though. They might be a little bit light in the front row. That's my main concern.
Yeah, because they've got a couple of injuries. So Ross Ford and Fraser Brun both out, aren't they?
That is rather huge.
So I'm guessing McKinley and Turner. But my intimate knowledge of hooker reserves for Scotland is pretty limited.
Well, five have got a few players not doing anything. So with Scotland, they've got some fine backs. They've got some very, very good attacking players.
Yeah.
The back row is fine. Happy with that. I do worry a little bit at scrum half. I think Price is okay. He's not world beating yet, but he's kind of on the right track.
And Purgos.
Purgos
is okay.
Yeah, it's going to revolve around how much magic can Finn Russell produce.
Finn Russell and Hoggy.
Yeah, it's going to be down to them. If they can really start purring, Scotland are fine. If not, they're going to be in a lot of trouble. If Finn Russell has a horrible game, they could lose really badly.
And this is what concerns me about Scotland. I think we need to be able to not be saying, and I think they are moving in the right direction, but I think we need to stop saying, oh, it needs a bit of magic from Hogg and Russell. I think that just needs to be the cherry on the top of the top of the cake, not we need them to pull a rabbit out of a hat again.
That shouldn't be the foundations. But I think the back line, yeah. So if you have whoever you've got at nine, so Ali Price, you've then got Finn Russell, and the centre partnership of what's most likely to be Dunbar and Hugh Jones is a damn fine centre partnership.
Yeah.
You put then Lyon Seymour and Lyon Hogg as two of your back three, and you've got a very, very good team.
Yeah. And the other thing is, we know how they're going to play because we watched Glasgow do it for so many years now, and it's going to be all possession-based. Their rucking skills are going to be seriously good because that's what Glasgow do, and that's what Gregor Townsend really prioritises. It means they can attack from pretty much anywhere. So whatever happens, they're going to be exciting.
So a couple of new faces, from the Avicii Premiership in Chris Harries.
Yeah, okay.
I think third choice maybe, or a useful utility centre.
Yeah.
Baron McGuigan.
A great finisher.
Yeah.
I kind of feel the same though.
Yeah, solid squad player.
Yeah. He was released by the Chiefs.
Like in England's wing pecking order, if he was England eligible, he would be 20th, 15th, maybe.
In that region.
I think he's pretty handy. So we'll see how he goes.
He's handy. He's a good player.
England's 15th choice winger is a great accolade.
When you've not played a single minute of international rugby, the jury is going to be out. But I think he'll equate himself rather well.
And then Luke Hamilton.
Not for me.
Is interesting. So
Luke McHamilton.
Yeah.
Hang on. Isn't Hamilton a place in Scotland, Tim?
Yeah.
And in New Zealand. Isn't that? Oh, yeah. But because it's a place in Scotland, yeah, you're right. All right, take it all back.
It's a Scottish name,
Take it all back.
Luke Hamilton, to me, is not an international class player.
Nor is Daryl Marfo.
Yeah.
Maybe not.
Who played something like six games of Premiership rugby or four games of Premiership rugby in 6 years or something like that.
For Quins,
yeah.
Yeah, and if you're not good enough to get in the Quins front row, that's often a damning indictment.
Which is weird, isn't it, about the Quins front row? Because they are notoriously bad with notoriously great players. Two Lions.
They've got, two Lions. Two Lions, but keeping on the pitch is part of the biggest problem that they've got.
So it's like the Fletley front row, the Scarlets front row. Like everyone says, oh, Scarlets, great backs, not great pack. Like, hang on. There's a whole Welsh front row here.
Yeah.
So exactly the same thing.
So Scotland have to win one. I think they do have to win two.
I think they have to beat Australia. Well, because I'm assuming they're not going to beat New Zealand, but yeah.
They might do.
The only get out is if Craig Joubert is reffing the Australia game and there's some dubious decision right at the last second.
Yes.
Again.
Should I even it out? Yes. Yeah. The only dubious guest outfield will be Craig Joubert right at the end.
Yeah.
And I think this is the most interesting one. What represents a successful autumn for Wales? Remind us again, they're playing the three big giants in the Southern Hemisphere. And
so they start off with Australia, then it gets a little bit easier in one respect, Georgia, but more difficult in another respect because they play Georgia, then New Zealand, then a week after everyone else has finished, they play South Africa.
Right, so the South Africa game, they don't have their players, do they?
Do they not?
Yeah, so it's either the first one or the last one. I'm sure it's the last one.
So it'll be the last one because that's outside the...
Yeah.
There'll be no
George North, not that he's there anyway. There'll be no Luke Charteris, not that he's there anyway.
Liam Williams.
You know, Faletau.
Yeah, all those boys can't play.
Are you sure?
Yes, I'm pretty sure. Pretty sure. I think... Oh, actually, no, I'm not going to go into that. Yeah, so it's only Welsh-based players for the last one, which is a bit worrying. I don't see him winning a single game.
Well, I think minimum expectation for me is...
Three good performances.
Oh, you see, you just said a moment ago with Scotland, we are past the point of saying performances.
You got one of the all-time best coaches in the world ever.
Rob Howley? I just can't see it. I mean, maybe I'm wrong, but I just can't see it.
No, so not what you see them winning... What should they be aiming for? What is a good result? In the same way that Scotland have to be aiming for two wins.
Right, I get what you're saying.
Ireland have to win all three. England have to win all three.
Yeah. I think Wales have to win...
one?
Oh, no. Well...
Georgia's a win, right?
So, Georgia's a win. Of the other three, they have to win one.
South Africa could be a win.
I think they should be targeting two of the... I think they should be saying...
Warren Gatland said, we are on course and the aim is... everything is geared towards winning the 2019 World Cup. With that as his statement, Warren Gatland's own statement, minimum expectation for Wales, three wins.
Three out of four. Yeah, I agree. Minimum has to be three out of four.
Well, they're not going to get that.
So anything less than that is not success.
So the expectations for all the other teams are doable. That is not doable.
So it should be doable. So they'll beat Georgia.
What do you mean?
As in, they should be able to beat Australia and they should be able to beat South Africa.
So if you looked at a potential Welsh 15 now and the potential Australian 15, you would look at that and say, yeah, Wales should win because I don't...
No, Wales should have a chance of winning.
Right, okay,
I'm not saying they should win 10 out of 10. Yeah, they're not necessarily the favourites, but they should be able to beat them. It should not be 10 out of 10 Australia win, which is something like the current record.
Right.
They haven't won in 12 years, I think.
And that, I think, it's going to continue. So if you look at them all as independent events, Wales are probably not the favourite for each one of those three big games.
So what do you think this is what has motivated the potential change in philosophy? Or I suppose, you know, Jamie Roberts isn't the force he was, which has probably forced the hand a little bit.
I think there's all sorts, Tim. I think there's exactly that. I think there's politics. I think there might be an element of maybe we change what we're trying to do. But there again, if they really wanted to change what they were trying to do, surely Scott Williams would be still involved.
Well, he is now back involved.
Because someone was injured, who was that?
Yeah.
Tyler Morgan, was it? Yes, it was Tyler Morgan.
Having said that, you know, if they go with Watkin at 12, he's a big lad. I mean, there might be no going away from Warren Ball whatsoever.
And they just revert back to it.
He's a big lad who has distribution skills.
Yeah. Yeah.
It could be a hybrid.
Mm.
Wow. He can do Warren Ball and... not Warren Ball.
One and no.
So yeah, I hope you're right. I hope if they can mix up, it'd be fairly scary, I guess.
So you're saying you think Wales will win one game?
Yeah, it's going to be Georgia.
What?
That is.
God, that would be a magic
huge
if
failure.
If we sat here in December saying that, that's
huge failure,
and then they're going to win the Grand Slam. That's just how it goes. That's how it goes.
But which is why, because we know Wales have got that in their locker, which is why I think this is so big this autumn. Because they've 2 years out from a World Cup and they still can't beat Southern Hemisphere teams. This is when they've got to do it.
Mm.
They've got to do it.
Yeah, but they won't. I don't know what that means for the rest of their, for the rest of 2 years, but they won't do it.
If they beat Australia and for the first time in 12 years and come close with South Africa, Is that
you can take positives out of that?
Yeah.
Similarly, if they beat South Africa and come close to Australia, like those things, you can take positives out of. Ooh. If you push in the past few years, so at home they've pushed New Zealand for 60
right.
minutes.
Yeah. Okay. So do you know the game? Oh, it's a silly game which girls play. What's it called? Like
football? No.
There's like love, marry, kiss, or something like
oh,
that.
Snog, yes. marry, avoid.
Yeah, something like that, right? Okay, so for Wales, you got these three. So these three games: win,
no, it was,
yeah,
crushed, admiral performance.
Yeah, okay.
Win, crush, admiral performance. Admiral performance. Let's get the New Zealand one done there. Oh,
yeah.
No, no. Oh no, no. Actually, you prefer to be crushed by that because you can write that off and go, that's okay.
They're the best of all time.
They're the best in the world. We just got them on a good day.
No, I think that anyone, is admirable performance.
Anyone could get crushed by New Zealand.
Yeah.
Win South Africa, crushed by Australia, admirable performance against...
No, see, I think they're crushed by South Africa because it's the last game. You might not have all your players.
Oh,
you might
yeah,
not
yeah,
have Faletau.
Yeah.
So you can kind of smooth over that one a little
God,
bit.
God, Faletau's important for...
Yeah,
this autumn
he really is, isn't he?
So crushed by South Africa,
yes.
Yeah. Admirable performance for New Zealand,
but
winning against Australia.
And if Gatland's really smart, along with Faletau being missing, he'll also be missing for the South Africa performance where they get crushed, so he can blame Rob Howley.
Yes, scapegoat him.
Yeah.
Or we could just go crushed, crushed, crushed. Kind of like a close friend of ours, Love Life.
I think they're going to win one of these.
I think they will be either Australia or South Africa.
Yeah.
My money would be on South Africa, actually.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And again, every time we've been a little bit down on Wales, they've sort of actually a lot of the time they've lived up to the billing, but they have it in them to just pull out some big performances.
Yeah, they've still got a lot of lines, and they've got JD, they've got Liam Williams.
Do. Yeah, you're right.
Faletau's good. Very good.
Very, very good.
Bigger, Jonathan Davies, Halfpenny's looking good again. Liam Williams in your back line. Reece Webb still currently in the back line. That's a pretty tidy back line.
You may have been a bit too harsh on there.
Yeah, there's only two players we haven't mentioned, the 12, whoever that will be, and the other winger.
Who is the 10? Who is the 10 for this team?
Well, I mean, Reece Preston's got an opportunity now.
It does feel like the tide has turned into Reece Preston's favour.
Who? Well, basically, no. I think the way to answer this is who needs the caps so they can play next year.
Exactly.
I think Preston's on 58.
You can imagine Dan Bigger coming off with an HIA and then them throwing caps at him as he goes back on. That's two caps. There's two caps.
No, but no, I still think Bigger. No, but let's say that again, actually. We are being too harsh. Webb, Bigger, Williams, Halfpenny, Jonathan Davies,
JD. Yeah.
That's, yeah, we are being too harsh on them.
Yeah.
We are.
They're still losing three. Sam Warburton.
I'm not sure.
Yeah, but tips.
Tips. Offer something different.
Is Moriarty in the squad?
No. He played 50 minutes
in the Anglo Welsh Cup against Leicester.
Which is an interesting one for fantasy rugby draft, whether he makes it back into the Welsh squad or not.
Mm.
I've been watching that one with interest because he's currently not been picked up by anyone.
So wise. No,
I did have him for a period last year and it was kind of feast and famine with Moriarty. He does so much tackling and ruck hitting and that doesn't score you any points.
Yeah.
He works so hard and puts in such a shift.
He's going to have to move back. I expect he's very unhappy with the new law changes, the new law as well. So I think he's very settled at Gloucester.
Yeah.
That's the impression I get.
Right.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free. or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Before we go, should we preview a game? One game.
Let's just quickly run through all the fixtures this week and just I'll shout them out. You tell me the winner.
Okay.
Because there are 10 fixtures this week.
Whoa!
And we, you know how we like our tier 2 stuff.
Yeah.
So, Friday night, Barbarians play Tonga. Winner?
Don't know.
I haven't seen the Barbars team. No, I'll go Barbars.
So, if Barbars get the players that they got out against New Zealand, I think Barbars will win this.
Yep.
Then, the French Barbarians versus the Maori All Blacks. Maori All Blacks, who smashed Canada by 50
French
points.
French Barbarians, you say?
Yeah, French no Barbarians.
Idea. Is this the one? Is this like the French 15, or is this separate from the...
No.
Because France are playing New Zealand.
Like
it's like a France 15
stripes,
v...
Yeah, so this week, the French Barbarians are playing. Next week, there is a France 15 playing. So it's separate to the France 15. So I think this can include foreign players playing in France.
Yeah. What, the French Barbarians?
French Barbarians.
They're playing like really nice baby blue hoops, I think.
Either way, Maori All Blacks are going to win.
Yep.
Yeah.
Then Georgia host Canada in Tbilisi.
Georgia host Canada. Oh. Yeah. Those maple leaves are not coming out alive.
I must break you.
Georgia win.
Big. I think that's a big win for Georgia as well.
I think you're right.
Good luck, Canada.
Then Germany host Brazil. I'm going to be cheering on Germany. Germany's
stash is incredible.
Yeah, so Germany.
Got to get hold of some.
Definitely want one of those.
Coached by Moritz Botha.
Yeah.
And funded by a billionaire against Brazil.
Yeah.
Give me Germany.
Germany. Then Italy, Fiji.
With ruthless efficiency, they will beat them.
Let's all hope, for the sake of rugby, they don't really take to this.
Italy, Fiji, which should be quite an entertaining game.
Now, this is one of the best games of all time, refereed by... Oh. Who was the referee?
The Welshman.
I can't remember, was it Reece? Leighton.
Leighton Hodges.
Yeah, that's
Leighton
it.
Hodges, where there was 6 yellow cards,
it
something like that.
It was amazing. Five, was it 5 for
five
Fiji?
5 for Fiji.
At one time.
I think they were down to 12 or 11 men at one time.
If you want to watch something amazing, can I also recommend? It just suddenly reminded me when you said greatest, one of the greatest games of all time. One of the first games that got me into rugby, I watched on a VHS. Go back, just type into YouTube sometime. France v Fiji, 1987, in the 87 World Cup. It is one of the most incredible games. France won comfortably. But the rugby was just insane how good it was. So anyway, if you're bored at work and want to waste a bit of time, do that.
So they're all like classic matchups, aren't they? Teams that seem to perform against other teams and have had tremendous historic matches. I'll give you an example. I think there's no greater spectacle than France versus New Zealand.
Oh well, I was gonna say France Argentina. In the World Cup. But yeah, France-New Zealand.
France-New Zealand.
I don't think it'll quite be
my
the
favorite
matchup
fixture.
It has been. But
yeah. I agree. But like that is like the historic fixture. For me, that's my favourite fixture. I think lower down...
I love an Ireland-Scotland game. I've always have.
Like,
just great memories of the old Five Nations and Six Nations.
Because England-Australia is an obvious one.
Oh, yeah.
And I think Italy-Fiji, you've got a little bit of a rivalry now. I mean, that is a good one. That is a good fixture.
Yeah. So who is saying winning this one? I'm going Italy. I'm going to say the Conor O'Shea resurgence.
The Italian autumn?
Yeah.
To continue?
Yes.
I'm going to go with Fiji.
Okay. Scotland, Samoa.
Scotland.
Scotland?
Yeah.
England, Argentina?
England.
England.
Yeah, comfortable.
Who do you think?
We haven't seen the teams at this point when we're recording this. Who will start 7 for England?
I want to say Chris Robshaw, but I actually think he might put Mauro Itoje to 7
just to
keep Robshaw at 6.
Is Underhill fit?
I think Underhill's going to start all 3 tests.
I think Underhill's going to start. I think he's class.
Oh no, there's no doubt, and he's good. I just I
It's his time. I mean, they've been watching him for so long at Ospreys, and they bring him over, and he is as good as they think. And now he's in that squad.
Interesting. That will be very interesting. We'll find out tomorrow, won't we, when the squad's announced? Unless it's already been announced.
Because how was your day at work this Wednesday, Phil?
Worky, usual stuff.
Very Wednesday-ish.
True.
In a way that only the day between Tuesday and Thursday can be.
Something like that, yes. What? And this weather, eh?
What about the weather? Give me another fixture, please.
Last few now. Wales, Australia.
Australia.
Wales.
I think Australia are going to win this.
Mm-hmm.
Then France.
No, Izzy Folau.
Yeah, true.
But Curtly Beale, not too shabby.
KB, Rhys Hodges.
And also got Carmichael Hunt, who's kind of going to get some game time.
Yeah, they've got a few players who can slot in there. Last two. France, New Zealand.
New Zealand.
New Zealand, reluctantly.
Yeah. New Zealand. I want to see something from France.
I do. I want
to see some spark, some fight.
Yeah, I think they should all go for a brisket before this game. Do it really, go real French.
And a cigar.
Yeah, then all headbutt each other in the changing room.
Yeah, okay.
And just play beautiful rugby.
Final game.
And our Leo Vegas game of the week.
Do you want me to play the music? Or
yes, please.
Okay, yes.
Yeah.
Yes, I mean, obviously.
Nah.
Right. There you go.
Sorry, as you're doing this, I'm watching the 12-minute highlight package of Fiji v France in that World Cup. The scrums are incredible to watch. France are just like pumping them ridiculously, walking about 15 metres, but the whole Fiji pack is staying bound on and walking backwards.
Amazingly, we just played the whole music to your commentary of Fiji v France.
Oh, there you go.
Which is awesome. I mean, that's cool.
Oh, I didn't think it was on. Sorry.
Sorry. Gone, far away. Tell us about Leo Vegas.
Oh, they're just dead good, aren't they?
Dead good.
Leo Vegas, betting, dead good. What's our game of the week?
Our Leo Vegas game of the week is in the Aviva Stadium in Dublin, and it is Ireland hosting South Africa.
Oof.
Massive game.
Now, Ireland have beaten South Africa recently, a couple of times, both in Ireland and in South Africa. And so South Africa are coming on the back of a run of fixtures. Ireland haven't played together this squad since the Six Nations, because they were disbanded. So they had a mini tour to. They played in Japan and a couple of other places. They played in US and Japan over the summer, but it was missing 10 or so of their stars. So I think this will be closer than you might ordinarily expect. But I do think that Ireland, under Joe Schmidt, are going to come out on top. And I really hope that they play some of their exciting young, particularly the outside backs, the likes of Adam Byrne and Conway and Stockdale and McCloskey and Carberry.
So, what do I think about this? I think that Ireland are a very mature team. They've got really, really good, strong core players who know each other inside out. And for all the improvements that South Africa have made, they're still a bit of a mix of all sorts. You know, the coaching staff seems to almost be not feudal, but what's the word for it? Like, it's little fiefdoms. Someone's doing exits, someone else is doing defence. There's God knows how many consultants.
As long as Brendan Venter's involved, you know, whatever he's looking after will be very good.
Yes.
It's the rest of it you need to worry about.
So, I don't think this South Africa team is going to be strong enough to touch Ireland. I think Ireland will win this by 10 points.
I think Ireland by one score, 7 points.
Ireland have got to win this. I think they will. And it'll be close. 4-point win.
Ireland by 4. So we're all saying Ireland.
Yep. Ireland to be bona fide winners.
Put your money where our mouth is.
Yep.
Our mouths.
Mouths? Yeah, mouths. yeah, and what's the other thing I was going to say about Ireland? Yeah, if they win, they just expand their lead.
In the JB Cup.
As JB Cup holders, which is such a phenomenal achievement.
Have you got a spreadsheet with this on?
No, I've got a person who runs it. A Twitter account. There is a JB Cup Twitter account out there if you want to find out who is currently winning. I know Tim hates it. You'd love it if it's called the Cocker Cup. Maybe you invent the Cocker Cup. I'll give you a hand. He wants it.
just one final thing. Can I just show you how this is the kit from France in 1987?
Yes, please.
Have a look at that.
Oh, wow. That white tricolour Adidas
lovely
stripes.
Oh,
that is lovely.
Thing of beauty, that. It's like a sports car. It's like a... That kit, along with the Wallaby Rugby League kit.
Two of the best.
Right, thank you very much for listening. Enjoy the Autumn Internationals, and we'll be back talking all about what happens. Give us your thoughts. Subscribe on iTunes. Get a Cornerstone Razor.
Get one of them.
Egg 10 at checkout.
Do that.
Get onto our Tier 2 tour.
100%.
Facebook, Egg Chasers page. All the information. Nice one for listening. Thank you. Let the boys play.
Let the boys play. Go on, Phil.
Let the boys play.
Thank you.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more, with Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to Quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.